Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a difference in the world. We'll explore important aspects and areas of life, including physical, mental, spiritual, relationships, disabilities, and many more topics. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and regular contributor to their weekly e-zine. I recently spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was the keynote speaker for that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since age 5. That's 43 years now. And I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced and been hospitalized about 40 times. You can find out more about me at my website. It's tom2talltall.com. My show today is about the Walk to Fight Arthritis and the Arthritis Society. The Walk to Fight Arthritis is the Arthritis Society's signature fundraising event. It is being held June 10th in various cities across Canada. The walk is sponsored by the makers of Tylenol. We ask you that you please consider walking and or donating to this worthy cause. The Arthritis Society is by far the best resource for accurate information about arthritis. Since I developed arthritis at the age of 5, my mother dealt with the Arthritis Society a lot. She says that they were the most important resource she's ever had in my struggle with arthritis. The Arthritis Society is Canada's principal arthritis health charity, empowering the nearly 4.5 million Canadians who live with arthritis to live their lives to the fullest by combating the daily limitations of arthritis. In the last 60 years, the Society has invested more than $175 million towards arthritis research to develop better treatments and ultimately find a cure. There are over 100 forms of arthritis, and about 4.5 million Canadians suffer from it. My guests today are Lorna Katrenbaum and Pamela Jarvis. Lorna is the manager of community engagement with the Arthritis Society of Halt and Peel. She has been with the society since 2003, working to raise the profile of the organization in the community and raise funds to support the Arthritis Society's various programs and research and initiatives. I also have Pamela Jarvis with us. She's been a volunteer with the Arthritis Society for nearly 10 years, and Pamela knows firsthand the devastating effects of arthritis, having been diagnosed, like myself, with juvenile arthritis at the young age of 11. Pamela returned to university several years ago to study social work and is close to obtaining her degree. Welcome to the show today, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pamela, I wanted to start the show by having you share with our audience a little bit about your struggles with arthritis since the age of 11. And just so our audience members can get an idea of some of the things that you and I have had to deal with over the years.
Sure. When I was a young child, I was experiencing a lot of joint pain, a lot of swelling and joint pain. There would be many times where I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't get in and out of the bathtub. Little things that a lot of children just take for granted that I couldn't do. And my parents noticed, of course, and they kept taking me to the doctor, and the doctor kept telling them it was growing pains. Back then, there wasn't a lot of awareness about children with arthritis. So
Exactly. They
kept sending me back and forth and giving me different things and saying it was growing pains, but it was not going away. I would get up, my hands, everything. It was very devastating. It was very hard as a child. So I just went through that. School, I was teased a lot because I started to get deformity in my fingers. I used to lie a lot about, because people were always asking me why I was limping. I would always say,
yeah,
I got hurt, because you know, as a child, if you tell, especially, other people, children or adults, that you have arthritis, everybody thinks you're lying because everybody knows or they think that it's, you know, an older person's disease. So I didn't
want
to deal with that negative reaction. So, it progressed from there. Finally, I got diagnosed and was sent to a really excellent doctor downtown, and I've been with him ever since in Toronto Western, and went through, like yourself, I don't know if I went through as many as you, but I've got a couple of knee replacements, a couple of hip replacements, an elbow. I've been in and out the hospital a lot, and like you as well, my parents relied on the Arthritis Society a lot. They were so wonderful, not just with physiotherapists, with occupational therapists, also with social work, and that's what kind of ultimately driven me into going into social work. Because, you know, as you probably know, when you have a chronic illness like that, it affects you mentally. It's not just a physical thing. It's a lot of it is mental.
Exactly. Probably 50% of it is mental in a lot of cases. You know, the pain is there day to day. It's what your brain does with it that will either make or break your life. And Pamela, you talked about something that kind of hit home for me, is that I was teased a lot when I was young as well because of the arthritis, but also I took prednisone, a ton of prednisone since I was 5 for like 15 years every day. And so it stunted my growth. I'm 5'2". And, you know, kids can easily pick out things to pick on people about. So that was an easy one. And, of course, like you, I limped a fair bit as well. And so people can pick that out as well. And so that was tough to deal with. Hard enough, you got arthritis, you got pain, you got to deal with it in your own brain, and now you got friends who should be sympathetic who are picking on you and teasing you. So that is a tough one. And then another one you mentioned is one that I encounter a lot teaching the arthritis self-management program, is that so many people have a difficult time getting diagnosed with arthritis. And before they're diagnosed, sometimes they go through ridicule from their husband or wife or their family. Why can't you do what you used to do? Why are you always so tired? And they go around doctor to doctor to doctor to try and find out what is wrong with them. And so I think since you and I have had arthritis many years ago, I think things are really a lot better now, although it's still a major challenge. Wouldn't you say, Lorna, that is a challenge you hear as well, as people taking a while to get diagnosed with their arthritis?
It absolutely is, particularly in the more severe types. Some of the inflammatory types of arthritis can be much more difficult to diagnose and can take a great deal longer. Unfortunately, in the time, you know, that they're waiting for the diagnosis, the damage is occurring. So it's disturbing, certainly, that some people have to wait a long time to be diagnosed, when we know that if they're diagnosed and start treatment early, their outcomes are much better.
Exactly. And Pamela, did your arthritis affect your whole family like it did with mine? I know my mom went in her late 30s, early 40s back to school to become a nurse because she had spent so much time in doctor's offices and hospitals that she kind of developed an interest in nursing. And my sisters helped deliver my paper routes when I was too sick, when I was young and lived in Ottawa in freezing cold winters. And I would pay them a little bit less than I earned when they delivered, so I still made money. But really, I found, and maybe you found as well, when you have arthritis when you're young, your whole family has to jump in to help in some ways.
Oh, definitely. I mean, thinking about when I was a child, my dad would have to, because I was always in downtown hospitals, so, you know, he always had to get off work, and because he would always come and visit me every day. A lot of running up and down to do a lot of adjustment.
Yeah.
Even for 1 year in high school, I could barely walk at all, and they had to get a tutor in because I wanted to graduate in time.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we had to go through that, is, you know, getting a tutor in to come and so I could finish, you know, finish my school on time. And even now, I'm older and I'm married and I have 2 children, and my husband is, I mean, thank God he's, you know, very dependable and he's understanding, but, you know, he's had to do a lot of things that maybe husbands normally wouldn't have to do. He does all the laundry, he does everything.
My wife puts my socks on because I have a sock device to put on socks, but she said, well, I like putting socks on, so instead of using the device, how about using me? And
well,
so it helps to have a supportive spouse, doesn't it?
Oh, totally. And little things that people just take for granted, you know, like putting on your socks or doing up your zipper, doing up your buttons, stuff like that.
Yes, the buttons. I can't do the top two buttons, so I always need help from my wife with those as well. And did your dad, I remember when I was young, my dad often carried me up and down the stairs on his back. We lived in a house, and oftentimes stairs were impossible to do. So jump on Dad's back, and he carries you up and down.
Yeah, we did that, too. We ultimately actually had to move back to a bungalow just because I couldn't. It was just getting too much. I would sit at the bottom of the stairs and cry because I couldn't. You know, it's like stairs, but when I'm looking up it looks like a mountain. It was
exactly.
Horrible. I would sit, and if he wasn't around, I would have to wait. Like sometimes I just couldn't make those stairs. So
exactly.
Yeah, we had to move, and we had to go into a bungalow. And the same thing now where I'm living, we had a two-story house. I was better, and then we've ultimately had to same thing. Just 2 years ago, relocate to a bungalow because stairs are just You know,
too much. My mom couldn't carry me on my back. So like you, I'd have to wait for my dad. And then also, in emergency, you learn to go up and down on your butt. You feel kind of foolish having to do it, but if you have to get up and
it
down
works.
The stairs, your butt works well.
Yeah. It does.
Now, Lorna, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about some of the services that the Arthritis Society offers? Of course, they do their research and development, which is really important for future generations of people with arthritis. But people who have it now, the Arthritis Society offers a ton of services, don't they?
They do. The Arthritis Society is a tremendous resource that is often underutilized for people with arthritis. From an education standpoint, we offer a really comprehensive website, which is www.arthritis.ca. There's over 17,000 pages of information on the site that deals with everything from, you know, how to eat better, physical activity that's appropriate, all information about all the different types of arthritis, programs and services, and so on. So it's a tremendous resource. We also have a toll-free information line that is staffed largely by volunteers who are living with arthritis themselves. So aside from being just information, it's also peer support. Many of the calls that come in, the people aren't just looking for information. They're looking for a sympathetic ear and an understanding person on the other line who has been there. So oftentimes those calls are quite lengthy. They tend to last longer than you might imagine. It's perhaps the first person that person's been able to talk to that really gets it. We have a huge array of printed material available, a lot of which is available online and can be downloaded in PDF version or can be accessed by calling the 1-800 number. And the number is 1-800-321-1433.
I would like to volunteer for that. I had not been aware of that. So after today, you'll have to let me know of how to volunteer for that hotline.
Sure, that'd be great. We also hold public forums, which are free public events that, again, just seek to educate people. Some of them are specific to a specific type of arthritis or like joint replacement. We've done them on joint replacement before. We have one coming up in Mississauga that looks at the differences between osteoarthritis and osteoporosis. Of course, the differences are significant, but oftentimes people don't realize that it's actually osteo can refer to two different conditions. So that's in Mississauga on May 30th. We strive to provide health and wellness programs for people, which are volunteer-delivered programs. Tom, you mentioned the Arthritis Self-Management Program already. That's our six-week chronic disease management program that's focused on arthritis and touches on a huge number of different topics that people who are living with arthritis would face in their daily lives. And we have the Chronic Pain Management Workshop, which is kind of an abbreviated version of arthritis self-management, takes the pain management component and focuses on that. And then we have the Arthritis Rehabilitation and Education Program, which you both refer to, which pairs specially trained physical therapists, occupational therapists, and social workers with people who've had a diagnosis of arthritis. Now, that program, people can self-refer to the program. They don't need a doctor's referral. And they can refer themselves by calling the 1-800 line that I mentioned. I'll mention it again. It's 1-800-321-1433. So they can self-refer. They can refer a family member who they see is struggling. We also do get doctor referrals and referrals from other healthcare practitioners. And that program is free. It's covered by the Ministry of Health, so there's no charge to the end user. They simply need a diagnosis of arthritis, a confirmed diagnosis, and then they can seek help from our staff who work to educate and offer consultation and support and oftentimes referral to other programs that may be beneficial to the person.
Yes, and so that was the most valuable service that my mom ever found was we had a physiotherapist by the name of Barbara Stokes who worked for the Arthritis Society for many years, and boy, that was like our go-to person for everything.
That's right. I think the service is really invaluable because they get, you know, they get an hour of pretty much undivided attention from someone who specializes in arthritis and can help address all of their concerns about the many different issues that they may be facing, from simple things like, you know, they can't button up their own buttons and they're having a hard time putting on their socks. And a lot of times people don't know that there are, you know, supportive assistive devices that they can rely on to help them with these things, and our occupational therapist can help recommend assistive devices or splints or different things that will help them.
Yeah, and that's a tremendous service, and one that I've noticed in 43 years of having arthritis is that the occupational therapy aids now are way more extensive than they used to be. And I don't know, Pamela, about you, but like I have reachers around the house because picking things up off the ground is not easy. I have a dressing stick to pull pants up, take socks off. I have a special cloth so I can wash my hair because I can't reach half my head. And so there's all kinds of these amazing devices for people with arthritis to make living a lot easier. And even utensils with bigger handles on them for people with bad hands. And you mentioned, Pamela, a social worker. And, you know, that is so very important as well. And to have it for free, like my parents weren't wealthy when I got arthritis, so every service they could get for free was really valuable.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Social workers just really helped me a lot to deal with a lot of, the emotional things. That even from how to deal with pain, how to, you know, use imagery and meditation to deal with pain, but also how to strengthen myself internally, against the teasing, against, you know, a lot of issues I'm going to face in life, how to accept things. It was very, very crucial to me. So,
and that is so important because we deal with pain every day. Sometimes even my wife says to me when I'll say something, she'll say, well, you're used to pain. But really, every day with pain is, you don't ever say, oh, geez, I didn't realize I was sore today. You have it every day. So it affects your brain. You don't really get used to it. It's still painful. It's just you learn different ways of using your brain to focus on other things and live your life despite the pain, not because you got used
to it. Well, what I find happened to me, and it's just really wonderful, is when I do get up and I feel good, like my hands aren't hurting as much, or my, you know, I'm having a good day, my knees or whatever, I feel like jumping around, like I feel so free and glorious, right? I feel like running around. I just feel so good because, you know, you take a lot of people, that you just take your health for granted, and it's glorious to feel that appreciation for it. Like to
yes,
it feels good to appreciate, you know, that you feel good kind of thing. I know
exactly.
It sounds silly, but until you kind of don't have it, you don't realize you do have it.
Exactly. And another thing, Pamela, I'm sure that, and Lorna, like, that we can all agree on is that being born in Canada is like winning a global lottery, especially if you have healthcare challenges, because I've been in hospital about 40 times, and the only thing I've ever paid for is the rental of my television. And my mother and sister do medical missions trips to third world countries, and this is not the norm in Canada for how the rest of the world gets treated for healthcare problems.
Oh, very blessed. Very, very blessed.
Yes. We can go to a rheumatologist, a surgery, a hospital, and our parents never have to worry about being bankrupt or broke when we were kids. And so just a blessing. People will complain, waiting times and other challenges that our system has, but it's kept me going and employed and working and mobile, and so I don't care if our taxes are high in Canada. I owe a lot from 40 hospital visits, so I pay them happily every year.
Me too. Me too.
Now, Lorna, tell us a little bit about the walk to fight arthritis, the history of it, and maybe the history of it in Mississauga as well, because that's the event we're promoting here online is our Mississauga event. But how long has it been going on? And last year, I think you'd mentioned it raised $1 million in one day. So give us some details about the walk and the history of the walk.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the Arthritis Society's Walk to Fight Arthritis is in its third year. This is its third year as a national event, and it's taking place in 21 communities across the country on Sunday, June 10th, and then in Montreal it's a little earlier, it's May 27th, and in Saskatoon it's on June 3rd. But the majority of the events all take place on Sunday, June 10th, and the walk supports Vital Arthritis Society programs, and, of course, funding leading-edge research to support those living with arthritis. You're correct. Last year's walk raised over $1.3 million, which was phenomenal.
Wow.
We're very excited about the walk because it's sort of the first time that we've, as an organization, that we've joined forces in all the provinces and come together to present this united front and to provide people an opportunity to come together and band together and raise awareness of this condition that is so often misunderstood or dismissed as something that's not all that serious or just a normal part of aging. And, you know, hearing your experiences, both of you, it certainly, you know, you put to bed the idea that arthritis is just minor aches and pains that you get as a result of getting older. So we're really, really excited about the event. So far, we have over 3,700 registrants across the country.
Wow.
We're well on our way to our goal of having about 9 or 10,000, which is phenomenal. And for those who don't have a walk taking place in their community, they can also hold a virtual walk, which gives people the opportunity to register, raise funds online, use the website to tell their story and about why they're participating, and then participate at their local park with a group of friends.
Wow. That's an amazing way for people to participate. I wasn't aware of that. And so even, as you said, if there's not a walk in your community, you can make your own walk.
Exactly.
Wow. And last year and the few years that I've been involved, you see so many people that are walking for different reasons. You see, I had a cousin come walk because my aunt died of complications of arthritis. You see, there was a team last year. I think Ryan's Hope maybe was their name.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a son or daughter? Anyway, had passed away when they were young from arthritis. And so you see people walking for other people. You see people with arthritis walking for themselves. And you just see a whole bunch of people whose lives have been affected in some way by arthritis. Because if it's in your family, it affects your family, your parents, your brothers and sisters. And, you know, there were so many people with so many different reasons for walking. It was really a great experience, wasn't it?
It absolutely is. It's really the first time that we've given people that opportunity to mobilize and say, you know what, I've watched my mother, my sister, my aunt, my child struggle with this for so long. And you know what, I want to do something now. I want to take the opportunity and engage people to walk with our team or ask my friends for support, you know, in the form of donations so we can raise money against this disease and help fight it.
Yeah, exactly. And 1.3 million in one day, that's an amazing result.
It is an amazing result. And we, you know, there's nowhere to go but up. The event is gaining momentum and building in popularity, and we're just thrilled to see the uptake across the country for this event.
Yeah. Pamela, one thing kind of wasn't in the questions, but I was thinking of it, is what changes have you seen in treatment, arthritis treatment, and that since you've had arthritis? Because you imagine for me, I've had it 43 years. So I remember back in the days when a walker was just an aluminum thing that clunk, clunk, clunked around. There wasn't all those occupational therapy aids. There was only like two or three drugs for arthritis. But in those years, my goodness, everything has really changed, hasn't it?
It's really huge. It's really huge because we know with primarily rheumatoid arthritis, which is ultimately, you know, a immune system deficiency, the quicker they get, especially with, well, anybody, but especially with children, I'm thinking, the quicker they get it under control, the less joint damage, which, you know, ultimately is so much better for the child or for the person.
Yes.
When I was young, you know, they had older medicines like gold injections and stuff that didn't really
you
work.
You had those too,
for me.
Eh?
Yeah.
I felt like being injected. I felt like they were injecting a boulder in my butt every time.
I know.
It's fairly painful.
I just got a flashback, and they didn't feel too good in my butt.
No. My doctor wouldn't warn me. She'd just do a gigantic jab and scream.
I remember my mother being in the room with me. I remember all that, getting my knee drained when I was, you know, very young with my mother there. It was just, yeah. But medicines have come so far. Like the medicine that I'm on now is a TNF blocker, and it's an injection.
What is that? What is the medication?
I don't know exactly the whole details of it. I know with people that have rheumatoid arthritis, we produce something called TNF more than other people that's been found in our blood. And I think, I'm not an expert, but I think that's what causes a lot of the, you know, our immune system to overact and overattack against our joints. And yeah, this blocks it. This medicine blocks it, so they're, you know, it can't get into you as much. It can't affect you as much. So they've come up with this, and it works wonders for me. I'm still on prednisone. You spoke about you being on prednisone. I've been on prednisone for 15 years. I can't get off. But and I'm on a number of things. But the medicines that work, you know, they work so much better now than they did when I was a child, which I keep going back and thinking of people who are just being newly diagnosed. It's amazing because, you know, all this damage that, you know, both yourself and I have experienced, you know, maybe these children, you know, these young people or whoever is being affected now, they won't have to go through that. They won't have to go through a hip replacement at 17 or a, you know, an elbow replacement or like yourself, knees or whatever. Because, you know,
exactly,
the medicine is working. So, and I know the Arthritis Society has been instrumental in, you know, putting funds into the development of these medicines. So that's why I think it's so important to support them in all ways, because they help.
Yeah, exactly.
With the occupational, with physio, with social work, but also with medicine. And that's very important, too, if you have, you know, arthritis, because you want to live your life. You don't want to spend your life in bed or, on, like you said, on a walker. You want to live your life to the fullest. And, you know, them putting money and funds into developing new medicines is extremely important for people.
Exactly. And I've been stubborn for the last number of years, and I don't take any medications, but as I get older, I feel either I'm getting wimpier or I don't handle the fatigue and the pain as well. And so I'm going to try methotrexate and maybe Humira and Enbrel. And
Enbrel
some of the people, Oh, some of the people I've talked to that are on these have looked me in the face really hard and said, you could be in a lot less pain on a daily basis. And, boy,
yeah.
That's like music to my ears. I'm like, okay, let me try some of these new drugs.
The way I look at it, I don't know. I don't think anyone likes to take medicine. I don't love to take medicine. But, you know, the choices for me are, I've tried it without medicine, and I just get in a flare where I can't move, and I don't want to live my life like that. So it's either, you know, I take the medicine and I live my life and I enjoy my life while I'm here, or, you know, I lie in bed moaning, I can't do that. I can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a choice we often have to make about people living with arthritis. So even when I was young, I did everything I wanted. I played hockey and baseball, all those things, but it was with the full realization that the very next day it would be a total write-off and I wouldn't be able to get out of bed. And you know what I mean by not being able to get out of bed.
I totally hear you. I love going to Caravana every year, and I remember my friends and I every year going to Caravana, and you know, it has a lot of walking, and for the next 3 days I was in bed. Like, I knew that it was worth it to me, but I knew that I'm like, I'm going to the parade, but for the next 3 days I will be in bed.
Exactly. And I never had to ask my parents if I could do anything, because they always knew that, okay, the realization and understanding is that you go do what you want and what a kid wants to do, but we'll be there tomorrow when you can't move and can't get out of bed. And so that's some choices that people with arthritis have to make, as well as the one that often gets me is the fatigue. That is, people don't see the fatigue. They know we have pain, but often, and I've heard mothers say, you know, that sometimes their husband thinks, like, how come they can't do what they used to do? How come their house is not as clean? How come they can't look after the kids so well? And that fatigue is pervasive. It's with us every day, or at least mine is. And I just have to decide to do whatever I have to do for my life, despite dragging my knuckles sometimes because I'm so tired.
Yeah, I have that too. I experience that as well.
Yeah. Now, Lorna, one thing you didn't mention about the walk to fight arthritis that I thought we should, because I invited a friend of mine to walk, and I forgot to tell him that it's a 1 or a 5K walk. This is not a marathon walk.
That's correct. It's not an endurance event. We have a 1 kilometer and a 5 kilometer route, but people are welcome to walk, you know, some variation of either of those. If they just feel able to do a short turn around the park, they're more than welcome. The other nice thing about the walk is that there's no minimum fundraising amount and no registration fee, so people aren't obliged to raise particular sums of money. Everyone who raises $100 receives a T-shirt at the walk, and there's additional incentive prizes from that point up. And we also, everyone who comes out and walks is, you know, invited to stay for lunch. There's entertainment. There's a live band. We have some speeches. So it's a really, really fun afternoon of, you know, families and colleagues and friends and peers coming together to celebrate, you know, the people that they've witnessed living with arthritis for so long.
Yeah. Exactly. And you, as you had mentioned there, you don't even have to raise money or even pay a fee, because the sponsors of the walk, the makers of Tylenol, they invest a fair bit of time and money, and they just want to see people walking to help support the cause, don't they? And so that's why we invite people to come out and walk. You don't have to raise a ton of money. You don't even have to pay to participate in the walk yourself. But it's just a way of showing support for people living with arthritis. And as I said, the makers of Tylenol, the major sponsor of the event, want to see walkers, and so that's why we encourage people to come out without bothering them about raising thousands of dollars before they walk.
Correct. That's right.
And that's a major sponsor, Makers of Tylenol, and also a very good friend to most people who have arthritis. If it's not like Pamela and I with rheumatoid arthritis, Tylenol arthritis is a great medication. I know my dad has knee problems, and when he takes it, he feels amazingly better, and when he doesn't feel good. So so I think he's a little stubborn like me. I tell him he should take it every day, and he asks me if I take medications every day. So I have to tell him that I don't. So now in Mississauga, the event is, what is that name of the park it's at, Lerna?
It's at Mississauga Valley Park, which is quite near Square One. It's central in Mississauga. To register for the walk or to learn more, you can visit the website at www.walktofightarthritis.ca. And from the website, you can register, you can support others who've already registered, you can share your story online and just help raise awareness and help people understand the many ways which arthritis affects people. And you can learn about all the events taking place across the country.
And by telling your story, isn't there a donation of $10 that the makers of Tylenol give if you share your story about living with arthritis online as well?
That's correct, and that was to a maximum of $20,000, which I'm happy to say we have maxed out.
Wow,
so
nice.
We've had such great support for the Tell Your Story feature that we've maxed out of that $20,000. But people are still encouraged to tell their stories because those stories are read by others who are registering or who are just browsing the site, and they
right.
make a big impact.
Yeah, they could encourage other people or other families.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And so that was an easy way for people to contribute was by simply by sharing their story. And
that's
so last
right.
year, how many walkers did we have in Mississauga?
Last year we had about 200 walkers in Mississauga. We're already at over 140, and there's still over 3 weeks to go. So I anticipate we will achieve our goal of exceeding that number by a significant amount. And we're certainly hoping for a nice sunny day that will encourage people to come on out and enjoy the afternoon.
Exactly. And usually, or lots of times for walks, organizations are begging for volunteers. But from a report the other day on a call we were on, you were saying that at least in Mississauga, we're really well taken care of for volunteers, aren't we?
You know, we are. We're very fortunate that we've had great response from the community for our volunteer needs, but there are certainly many other walks around Ontario and throughout the country that may still require some volunteer support. So if someone is interested in volunteering, they can get all the details at the website as well, which, again,
yeah.
is walktofightarthritis.ca.
And it's so great. I don't know if it's just in Ontario, but in Ontario, kids have to have a certain number of volunteer hours before they graduate. And so I remember seeing a lot of young school-age kids last year at the walk volunteering, and I was very encouraged to see all those young people volunteering. It's a Sunday, a weekend, it's in the morning, not always the best time for teenagers on a weekend morning to do anything. And so I was really encouraged by seeing so many young people out and helping. And so as you said, we have some great teams of volunteers here in Mississauga, but all of the cities that are having a walk need volunteers. And if you're especially in Ontario and you have to get your volunteer hours, this is a tremendous opportunity to do just that.
And it's good timing as well because we're in June, so a lot of kids...
They're graduating without their hours.
Sorry, lost you there. A lot of kids are just needing to finish up their few remaining hours before they graduate, so it's great timing for that.
Exactly. Pamela, any last words from yourself or any message about how great the Arthritis Society is that you can leave with our listeners as a final thought?
Well, like I said before, I think the Arthritis Society is amazing. It supported me a lot. I've seen what it's done for a lot of other people that I've met along my journey, including yourself and many other people. So it's good to get out and, you know, support them in any way. The walk, I've been for a couple of years. I'm going again this year. And it's a fun day. Like, it's a good day.
Yeah.
You meet people, you network. And, you know, even besides raising, you know, funds, and you also network with people and you meet friends, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
amazing opportunity. Bring your friends, your family out, and it's a really great day.
It's an amazing day, and as I mentioned, the Arthritis Society is so dear to our family, and Lorna had mentioned earlier one thing as well, is that the website, arthritis.ca, is an amazing website. I've been on it a fair bit, and I hadn't realized there's 17,000 pages of information, but I can believe it, because anything you can think of related to arthritis is on that website, and it's easy to remember. It's arthritis.ca. So no one ever has to jog their memory bank for finding the Arthritis Society website, because arthritis.ca, you can't make it any easier to remember. So go to that website. It is a great, great, great resource wherever you live in Canada. And you'll be able to get help for whatever you need through that website. It is the central point for all of Canada for the Arthritis Society. So make sure you go to that. And then what did you say, Lorna? The walk one is walktofightarthritis.ca, right?
That's correct, yes.
So join us, everybody, June 10th, whatever city you are in across Canada. Check and see where your nearest walk is. If there isn't one near you, gather some friends together, create your own virtual walk. And if you can't do the walk, donate some money. Go to walktofightarthritis.ca, and you can donate online. And it goes to an amazing cause. Thank you so much for your time today, Pamela and Lorna. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll see you June 10th at the walk.
We will.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.